Today's reading is from Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. It's on page 853 of the Church Bibles. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Thank you to Charlotte for welcoming us all at the beginning and for breakfast as well. It's been nice to share breakfast together. Just as we start, I'm going to jot something in here. I might tell you about it a bit later. Oh, it says important message. Important message. That's what I will tell you. Seems like that pen ran out a little bit. Anyway, you might find out later what that was all about. What's the next big thing happening for you? What's the next big thing happening for you? For some of you, it might be a holiday. We're looking forward to a holiday. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe you're going on a holiday. Maybe that's the next big thing for you coming up soon. Maybe it's a wedding. We all know that the summer is a summer season, and perhaps we've got a relative who's getting married. Perhaps a wedding is the next big thing on the horizon for you. Maybe it's an exam. I know the summer isn't really exam season, but perhaps you've got an exam coming up. It's not just children who sit exams, you know. Sometimes adults sit exams. Wonder what the next big thing is for you. Well, whatever it is, I bet you're getting ready, aren't you? If there's a big thing coming up, I expect you're getting ready for it. We're getting ready for our holiday. We've made sure we've packed. We've got our foreign currency. We've got the travel insurance. Got all the tickets. If you're sitting an exam, I bet that you're doing your revision. I know Charlotte sits quite a lot of exams. I bet she's done her revision. Got ready for that. If you're going to a wedding, how do you get ready for that? Well, you might go and buy an outfit. You have to go to the shop, don't you? Make sure you've got the right outfit. Perhaps you've had to book some accommodation. You've got ready in advance. Well, this morning, in that passage, you might like to turn to it, in Daniel chapter 12, we find out that what the next big thing is. We find out what the next big thing is. The next big thing, page 853, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. That's talking about the return of Jesus. The return of Jesus. You might think, Michael? I didn't know there was a great prince. A great prince who protects our people, called Michael. Well, Michael is one of the names that the Bible gives the Lord Jesus. Michael means who is like God. And we know that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. Jesus is like God in every way. And the Bible's telling us here that he will arise. We know that he did arise. Do you remember from the grave on the third day after he died on the cross? He arose. But this is telling us about a time in the future when he will arise, not from a grave, but from the right-hand side of God the Father in heaven. So that's the next big thing. The Lord Jesus is going to get up out of his seat and he's going to come. He's going to come. That's the next big thing that is going to happen. Well, sometimes when there's a big thing that's coming up, it can be the beginning of a new life, can't it? A whole new life can emerge when a big thing takes place. Just think for a minute about a wedding. A wedding for someone is the beginning of a new life, a married life. It's the beginning of a whole new life for the couple getting married. Perhaps if you're sitting an exam, and if you pass it, it opens up a whole new career to you, a whole new pathway through life. Perhaps you even have to move house to go to the place where you're going to work. And the Bible's telling us that this next big thing, when Jesus comes back, is going to be the beginning of a whole new life for all of us. Did you see how it said verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. It's talking about the beginning of resurrection life. Life after death. Now you might think, that sounds ridiculous. Dust, how on earth is the dust on those who've lived and are now dead? How are they going to live again? How can there be life from the dust of the ground? Well, let's think about it. There has been once, hasn't there? Do you remember how the Bible begins with Adam? He's formed out of the dust of the ground. So Adam is a living being, first man. And we're all his children and our bodies are dust. And if he's done it once, the Lord can do it again. So he's given us this life and he's going to raise us to eternal life. So it's going to be the beginning of a new life for all of us when this big thing happens and Jesus appears. But did you notice it's not going to be the same kind of life for everyone? It's not going to be the same life. It says that all will awake. All will awake. But some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Goodness me, there's two different ways of life, this everlasting, this resurrection life that people are going to have. Some are going to experience wonderful everlasting life. But others are going to go through something terrible. Shame and everlasting contempt. Can you imagine it? That sounds dreadful. Dreadful. Some of this wonderful things, but others have a dreadful future in store. Now, I think we're all smart enough to be self-interested people, aren't we? We basically choose what's good for us. We want things to work well for us. Don't we all want that? I'm sure we all do. We all want what's good for us. There's nothing wrong in that. We want things to go well. And, do you know, it's really up to us whether that future, that everlasting resurrection life is the wonderful life God intends for us or the everlasting shame and contempt that is the alternative. It's really up to us. Now, when it comes to a wedding that we're going to, or a holiday that we're planning, or an exam, how it goes really depends on the preparations we've made, whether we've prepared properly, whether we're ready for what's happening, ready for that big occasion. You know, if you've got all your currency and you've made your plans and you've booked your accommodation, you're likely to have a great holiday. If you haven't revised at all for your exam, you're likely to fail. And this part of Daniel is really saying to us that We've just got to make the right preparations. If we want the life that God intends for us to have, the resurrection life he intends, it's about the preparations we've made. There are two different approaches to life that we see in Daniel 11 and 12. These last two chapters of this great book, I hope you've enjoyed it as we've looked at it, but these last two chapters, there's two approaches to life, and I'm just going to explain them to you. In Daniel 11, we read about kings. Kings building empires for themselves, coming and going, but building empires for themselves, putting all their power and their energy, their resources into kingdom building, empire building, building empires for themselves. But do you know, they really stand for all of us. They stand for, as representatives, for all those who are building empires for themselves, for whom life is about gaining a little bit more of this world, accumulating it for me, getting a bit more of what's on offer out there. That's what those kings were doing, wasn't it? Trying to get a bit more territory, grabbing a bit more land. Lots of people live that way. They don't have the resources some of these great kings of history had, the Persians, the Greeks. But that's the way people live today, isn't it? They're trying to get a little bit more for themselves. Those are the people, I'm afraid, who are destined for this everlasting shame and contempt. We'll think about that in a second. But the alternative, did you notice the other people? It said, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. That's talking about people who are preparing in a different way. They are using their lives to build the kingdom of God. This is really talking about personal evangelism, if you like. It's talking about sharing the good news, sharing the way of God in the world. It could say, those who impart wisdom, verse 3, you'll see the footnote. Those who impart wisdom, those who tell of God's way to others as opportunity arises. Those who lead many to righteousness. It's talking about the person who tries in every way they can to build God's kingdom as they share the message of Jesus with others. And if we compare what happens to these two different kinds of people, we see, don't we, that there's no comparison. The kings, those who try to accumulate for themselves in this life, well, they're really forgotten. It's funny, isn't it? They get all the limelight here and now. They get all the attention. They make the headlines. But actually, we don't even read a single one of them by name in these chapters. None of them has a name. It's just the king of the south, the king of the north. It says at the beginning of chapter 11, it tells about three more kings. They might be a number. They might be a number. But they're not named. One of the saddest things in the Bible is where Jesus says, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. He says, I never knew you. Can you imagine hearing those words? I never knew you. You become just a number, a king who lived in the south or the north, unknown, to drop into eternity that way. It's dreadful. But let's compare that with the outcome for those who seek to build God's kingdom in this life. It says, those who are wise or impart wisdom will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. To be a Christian now, to try and use your life to build God's kingdom, won't put you at the center of attention. You won't appear in magazines and newspapers. You won't kind of get banner headlines. Social media won't chase after you. But that's not what those people are in it for. They're doing something quite different, aren't they? They're seeking God's kingdom. And the wonderful thing is, you see here that they're named. It says, you, Daniel. Daniel's one of those. Daniel wasn't a king. He did operate at a high level in society. But Daniel, those other kings, they were all nameless and forgotten. Daniel. But you, Daniel. It's a personal knowledge of God, of you. He's never going to forget you. You will rise to everlasting life if you invest in God's kingdom here and now. And then I love the very last verse of Daniel's book. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. It's lovely to get an inheritance from, I don't know, a grandparent or a distant relative, and to, wow, they remembered me and they left something to me. Well, this is talking about an inheritance that the Lord will give us. Imagine that. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. So as we come now to the end, as we come to an end, end of Daniel's book, I want to just come back to this little note I wrote for myself. Oh, if you put my name at the top. Important message for Tom. Important message for Tom. Do you know the film Gladiator? In the film Gladiator, there's a quote, there's a phrase that Russell Crowe says in his, what's his name in the film? I can't remember now. Maximus, that's right, Maximus. He says, the things we do in life echo in eternity. And that's really Daniel's message. The things we do in life echo in eternity. And this important message I've written for myself says, the things we do in life echo in eternity. And you see, the life we live now is really like the top page. And on the back page, that's like our eternal future. The things we write on the surface are going to go through to the next life. And it says on the back here, it says, Tom, the things we do in life echo in eternity. And let's not forget that as we close off this series in Daniel. The things we do in this life echo in eternity. What are we going to choose? Are we going to choose to build our own little empires? Or are we going to invest in the kingdom of God? Now, I know that we're all tempted, aren't we, to invest in our own little empires and doing things for our own sake and just trying to extract more for ourselves. And so we're going to have a time of confession now, a prayer that's going to be on the screen. And I'll say the words in white. It's a prayer we use actually at our lunchtime service called Time with God. But we're going to say it together now. So I'll say the bits in white if you'd like to join in with the bits in yellow. So, Heavenly Father, we confess the times we've chosen our own way instead of Christ's way. When we've made this world our treasure and forgotten your kingdom and your reward. In your mercy, Father, forgive us and help us. When we have hurt others in our pursuit of empty pleasures, in your mercy, Father, forgive us and help us. When we have lost the vision of Christ and all hope of your new creation, in your mercy, Father, forgive us and help us. We say together, Father, you have raised us with Christ. Set our hearts and minds on things above till he appears and we are with him in glory. Amen. Amen.